Now, the U.S. women's national soccer team will be paid the same as their male counterparts. That's part of the new collective bargaining agreement both the men's and women's teams reached this week with the U.S. Soccer Federation, the sport's national governing body. This follows a $24 million settlement between the Soccer Foundation and the national women's team, which guaranteed equal pay as well as millions of dollars in back payments for players. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been following this pay gap story with soccer in particular in the United States? What do you think of this new deal? If you're an athlete or parent of one, what does this decision mean to you? Do you see more visibility for women's sports in the U.S. in general? Do you want to see more of it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Stephen Goff has been covering soccer for the Washington Post for decades, including Major League Soccer and the U.S. women's and men's national teams. He's covered five Women's World Cups and every Men's World Cup since 1994. Stephen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, how does this deal work? What had to happen to bring this equal pay deal to reality?
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. A lot of ups and downs for the women trying to gain equality on the pay front. And the big sticking point over the years was these World Cup bonuses. You know, the U.S. women would win a World Cup and get a few million dollars to split. A men's team would, you know, maybe go to the round of 16 and get far more money for their performance. And the money came from FIFA, the World Soccer Governing Body, which provides much more prize money to the men than the women because of the revenue they say they generate. So they've come together and amazingly found a solution in which the two teams will pool their World Cup bonuses and split them down the middle. And, you know, nothing like this has happened in world soccer. It's a first, and, you know, the players are hoping this will lead to greater equality around the world.
Is the United States unique in the relative popularity of the women's national team, a very, very successful team that's actually brought a lot of viewers in, I think, even relative to the men's team?
Yeah, they're rock stars. You know, they've done it through their success in World Cups and the Olympics. They've done it through the way they play, the personalities on and off the field. You know, you can name, you know, you could make the argument that the most popular soccer players, American soccer players in this country, are the female players. And so, you know, there is a great a following here. And they have driven sports fans, the interest from sports fans over the last 25 years. Here we are now where they will collect more, you know, more money and be equal with the men.
This hasn't necessarily been kind of a happy kumbaya get together on this, though. Can you talk about some of the contentious years in a lot of ways of women calling for this in the sport that led up to this point?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's been very complicated because, you know, the men have had a very different collective bargaining agreement with the U.S. Soccer Federation than the women. The women were on salaries. The men were on, you know, just appearance fees and bonuses, et cetera. That salary will now go away, and they're both on bonuses and appearance fees, et cetera. So they've bridged that gap. Yeah, the women have gone to court multiple times. They've taken the fight into the public spectrum. It's gotten quite ugly at times. And, you know, it's been a hard road. And here we are.
Talking to Stephen Goff from the Washington Post, looking at this new agreement in the national soccer program, giving equal pay to the women's and men's national teams, unique in sports around the U.S. and around the world for soccer. You can join in if you have thoughts, reactions, What does this mean to you? Maybe to the young athletes in your family. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Stephen, part of the mission of a soccer program in the United States is to sell soccer to Americans. It's grown a lot, obviously, in popularity. A lot of people playing it. How does this fit into maybe a wider goal of bringing soccer onto more TV screens, getting more people into stands for the national team and for local teams?
Right. I mean, the U.S. Soccer Federation is a nonprofit, and their mission is to grow the game and spread the game. You know, this isn't a private corporation that's strictly making decisions based on revenue. So it's, you know, the women pushed the idea, the belief that, you know, they should be treated the same way as the men, and things have improved rapidly. Now, how does this agreement affect the long term? You know, I think it's, you know, in the public eye, people are going to say, hey, you know what? The Federation has done the right thing. The men's program has begun to understand what the women have gone through. And, you know, they're now really one team, one organization. It's always been kind of a separate thing. The men's team, the women's team, the Federation overseeing all of it. You either picked one side or the other, and you know, it just feels like they've come together, and you know, and with a 6-year collective bargaining agreement, I think that will reflect well on soccer in this country, and by extension, will help grow the game.
What are you hearing from the players, especially on the women's team themselves, since this agreement came out?
Yeah, I think they're happy with it. I think they're looking forward to the next step. And they've spoken about that publicly, that they want to push FIFA, the world governing body, to follow suit, and for other countries to follow suit. You know, soccer federations around the world have been very slow to back their women's program and back their women's players. So the hope is that, you know, the U.S. sets the standard as it has on the field for women's soccer, and now is continuing that standard off the field in the financial arena.
We've been talking about money mostly so far. How about playing conditions, the kind of fields people play on, the kind of logistical support, the equipment they get? I remember sitting down with the family to watch a women's friendly game some years back. The field conditions are so bad, they canceled the game. We got to rewatch the World Cup victory over Japan, which was cool to see again, but yeah, you want to see the live game. Are those kind of conditions part of the story here?
Yeah. And things like the field playing on artificial turf, that was phased out several years ago. So that wasn't really part of this deal. I mean, it is, they're not going to play on artificial turf, but the women haven't played on turf in many years. You know, and you talk to Federation people, they'll admit that was a huge mistake, that they would always put the men, or almost always put the men, on grass fields. The women often played on turf, treated like a second class program. No one wants to play on turf. Sometimes it's necessary, but it was affecting the health and welfare of players. And obviously that cancellation, certainly was the low point. This collective bargaining agreement, dictates that teams have, equal backing for staffing, for charter flights, for hotels, for all the support systems that go into, funding and backing a world-class program.
And briefly, as we wrap up, Stephen, you said the next step might be FIFA. Now, that's a very different organization. It wasn't that long ago, I think, that the head of FIFA said, you know, maybe cute short skirts or something like that. That's what it's going to take to get attention to the women's game. I mean, is there any sense that that organization is going to loosen up on these things?
Yeah, I mean, things have gotten better with FIFA and how they treat the women's game. You start to see them pay a little more attention to the Women's World Cup. They understand, you know, the market forces here, that people are watching, and if people are watching, they can charge more to sponsors. They understand, they're starting to understand the power of women's soccer, in certain countries, but certainly it's growing, around the world. I mean, FIFA could certainly take the lead and say, hey, you know what? The men's tournament does generate more revenue than the women, but for the good of the game, you know, we're going to give equal prize money to the men and women and, you know, advance the game that way as well. So it's a slow moving organization, but I think there's a little bit of momentum here.
Stephen, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Stephen Goff covers soccer for the Washington Post. After a quick break, we're going to continue talking about the story, this equal pay for men and women in U.S. soccer, and hear from a sports columnist. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been following this story? Are you a fan of soccer, of women's soccer in particular? Are you happy about this news? Women's sports in general, do you think this this change might give them a boost at different levels? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you're raising, as I once did, girls who are playing soccer, what do you think this means for them? 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our talk about the new collective bargaining agreement between the U.S. women's and men's national soccer teams and the governing organization, the U.S. Soccer Federation. This week, they all reached a deal that would see the women compensated the same as the men. We just heard from a soccer reporter about some of the details. Now we'll hear from a sports columnist. Still time for you to join in at 800-642-1234. Nancy Armour is a columnist for USA Today Sports. Nancy, thanks for joining us today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Well, you tackled this very question in a recent column. How big a deal is this agreement?
This is huge. You know, the money itself is significant and will make a big difference for the women, a lot of whom have, you know, they've not been able to make a living wage playing soccer professionally. But in terms of the message that it sends and the signal that it gives, it is monumental. It is, as Midge Purr said, it is not appropriate to pay women less than men for doing the same job. And no longer will U.S. soccer do that. And I think that sends a message to people in every industry, in every kind of workforce, that, you know, the days of shortchanging women can and should and will be over.
Do you see this, as someone who covers other sports too, do you see this as something that could spill over not just into soccer, but into other women's sports?
Well, I think it is it's hard to make apples to apples comparisons, mm-hmm. because, you know, U.S. soccer is as Stephen said, it's a federation, it's a nonprofit. You know, it's different than, say, the NBA and the WNBA, which are separate entities. However, I think what this does show is that there is interest in women's sports, that there is a market for it, and that if you pay for it, if you give a women's team the support, both financially and, you know, if you want to call it emotionally, you will get a return on it financially. And I think we are starting to see that in the marketplace already, and I think this is only going to encourage or accelerate that.
Yeah, can you talk about what you've seen in terms of rising sports fan interest in women's sports? I think I saw that the women's national team is at the most viewed soccer game in the United States. Do you see other data points like that?
Yeah, you know, the numbers for every women's sports have been rising dramatically. You know, the year of the pandemic, one thing that was very notable was that viewing of sports was actually down for most of men's sports. And yet the sports that showed an increase in viewership were the WNBA and the NWSL, the two women's professional leagues that were playing during the summer of 2020. You are seeing rising ratings on ESPN and ABC for the NCAA women's tournament. You are seeing rising ratings for the WNBA. The national championships for volleyball, softball, gymnastics all have recorded increases. So clearly, I like to say this, if you give women a platform, there's going to be interest. But for decades and far too long, there just hasn't been this platform for women. And now, fortunately, we are seeing that start to change.
Talking to Nancy Armour, columnist for USA Today Sports, looking at the new agreement in U.S. soccer. paying men and women in the sport equally on the national teams. You can join in with your reactions, your questions at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Laura is with us in Manitowoc. Laura, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to call and say that I think it's a terrible idea. I do not think that the women's soccer team and the men's soccer team should be paid equally.
Because?
Because the women's team has been running circles around the men. They've been blowing it out of the water. They should be paid a lot more.
Laura, I wondered if you were going that way.
Laura, thanks for the call. Nancy, what do you think? I mean, in recent years, it's hard to argue one team's been very successful on the world stage.
You know, and it's, I think that there is something, I don't want to say there's necessarily something to that, but I think there have been a lot of people who've said that. You know, the men didn't even make the World Cup in 2018, whereas the women have won it the last two times. It's, you know, in 2015 and 2019. I also think that was probably a factor in the men getting on board with us, that, you know, you can say that, okay, the men are losing some of their prize money, but you can't lose what you don't have. So they, you know, the women's prize money that they got for 15 and 19 might not be huge, but it still is better than what the men got for 2018, which was nothing. So I think that has created a recognition from the men and from U.S. soccer that, listen, this is good for all of us, that, you know, supporting the women's team, encouraging people to invest in the women's team is only going to benefit both teams. The more money that the women bring in is the more money that the men get too. So there have been people who said, yeah, they should just pay the women more than the men. And just based on performance the last few years, it's hard to argue with that.
Let's go to Paul now in Northern Illinois. Paul, hi.
Hey, you know, you're one of my favorite shows.
Thanks.
So, I wanted to bring something new, but I can't. I go Chicago Sky, and I just wanted to say the same thing, that I think equal is not equal in this case, because if we think of from a good old American capitalistic perspective, you've got the team that's actually, and I don't want to do the give an inch, take a mile, but, you know, take all milestones where we can get them, but it seems to me we're on our way, but the women should be making far more than the men.
Paul.
And that was my point, too.
Gotcha, Paul. Paul agreeing with our first caller. But then, Nancy, also, Paul mentioned the Chicago Sky. You mentioned, yeah, you know, the women professional players, the ones who are not necessarily going to be on the national team. Some of them are, some of them aren't. It is not a way to really support yourself playing in women's soccer. The WNBA, we see a lot of players ending up playing overseas in part because of that, including, sadly, Brittany Griner, stuck in Russia, jailed in Russia now. Do you think this national agreement is going to send a message to the pro teams that Paul just mentioned there?
The conversation about the WNBA is tough, because it's also, you know, part of that is that the women play overseas in order to just keep game fresh, because the WNBA season is so short. But yeah, I think this shows the value, you know, that there is worth to women. And I think, like I mentioned, I think we're seeing it, you know, in the rising ratings, in the rising corporate interest, in the interest that, you know, people who are buying teams now, that the values of franchises are rising for in the women's leagues. One thing I will point out is, because of the bonus structure, the way that things go, the women actually technically could make more money, because if you know, the guys, the furthest that they've gotten since 2002 is the round of 16. So that's what, four games at the World Cup. The women have gone to the final, so they are playing more games than the men do, so that is going to allow them to make more money theoretically. So just pointing that one out. But yeah, I think that this is going to show leagues that they need to step up, that the days of getting by on the cheap or running teams and leagues on the cheap no longer flies. And if they don't get with the program, then they're going to have consequences.
Thanks for that call. We heard from Joel on the Ideas Network Facebook page, who writes, so long as a women's sport generates equal revenue as the men's version does, they should get equal pay. They do in the four major pro tennis tournaments, as women's tennis is very popular. But Joel goes on, the same can't be said for women's professional golf and professional basketball. In short, the market should dictate the compensation of professional athletes. What do you think? Go ahead, Nancy. Yeah.
I will ask Mark then, how much free support have the men's leagues gotten for 50 years? You can't have this conversation about revenue unless you acknowledge that men have been the default for the better part of a century. You know, the women were not given the opportunity to use the branding and the logo of March Madness until this year. Do you really not think that if they had been able to use this for what, the last 40 years or however long it's been that the men have, that there wouldn't be more interest in that tournament, that it wouldn't be generating maybe the same amounts of money? You know, everything in sports has been set up to benefit men. And so you, again, you cannot have these conversations about revenue without acknowledging that women have been put behind the eight ball. I mean, it's expecting them to, you know, hit a home run or get to home, cross home plate from, you know, starting at bat, whereas the men are starting on third base. You know, it's not the same argument yet. But if you put the resources and the investment into women's sports, then we can have a discussion in 10, 15 years, 20 years, and see where we're at.
Nancy, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
That's Nancy Armour, columnist for USA Today Sports. We talked with her and heard from Washington Post soccer reporter Stephen Goff about the new collective bargaining deal this week that ensures the U.S. national women's soccer team will be paid the same as the men.